Join us now as we ascend the treacherous Dice Tower Network. Look at this. We stumbled onto the fledgling board game Point of View. What a treat. I'm going to try and touch it. Crikey, it nearly took me arm off.
Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming.
And also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network.
Indeed we are.
Sorry, I
know. Yeah. It had to be said. We're under obligation and contract to say that.
Yep.
Wait, once a podcast.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the moderator.
I know, though.
But
I
mean, you're just trying to butt in on the official duties.
That's true.
Remember that fat stack of documents I had you sign a long time ago?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The Dice Tower contract was part of that. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we've signed our lives away to the Dice Tower, basically, yep. is what's happened.
That was the one that you said, oh, it's just all the usual stuff.
Right.
Just initial here, signature here.
And, exactly. Yeah.
And just ignore those 17 pages stapled to the back.
Right.
Which I did.
Well, naturally.
Of course. Yeah.
Who really reads those?
We, as usual, have a lot to talk about tonight. However, we also have a lot to talk about concerning our lives. And tonight, I think we're going to start with Seth, because I heard he had some fun work-related adventures. Is this true?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't even really know where to begin. It's not even that bad. It was just kind of a bunch of small things upon small things that should have gone well that just did not go well. So
okay.
I was pretty much working on one problem the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something that should have been easy.
Right.
And yet nothing was working. So just the basic tools that I would need to use. No. It's like someone giving me a bottle of root beer.
Okay.
With a twist off cap.
Yeah.
I go to twist it,
and
my hand just falls
breaks.
Off.
Your hand falls
and I'm like, okay, well, at least I can pick my hand up and put it back on.
Right.
And then I put it back on, and now suddenly the bottle of root beer is nowhere to be found. And then I open the bottle of root beer, there was not actually any root beer in there, and I had the wrong bottle the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So I'm going to work on that again tomorrow. I'm hoping this is just like the IT mantra, right?
Uh-huh.
We'll restart it tonight, come back tomorrow, things will work, all right? That always happens, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
So, Steven, did you meet any interesting people today?
Well, if the parking meter lady counts, she definitely gave me a ticket,
right.
So that's cool. I mean, it was technically only a warning,
right.
But I was talking to Seth. And he was actually telling me about all of his IT struggles
right.
out on the patio of Moab.
Yeah.
And I'm just chilling like a villain. And we glance over, and one of my coworkers was parked behind me.
Right.
And it looks like he's getting a ticket. And for just a minute, I felt bad for him. But also for just a minute in my mind, I went, ha! Like, he's getting a ticket, and I'm good. And that's what James did, probably, because I was like, hey, let's go inside and tell him that he's getting a ticket and warn him about this.
Right.
And we left, and when I wrapped around to my vehicle, I also had a ticket,
right.
And we just both got hit on the
right.
same day.
Yeah.
And it was only a warning, like I said, so no real damage done, but brought me back down to earth. I thought, hey,
right.
I got off scot-free, and he didn't, and then, no, we actually both, yeah.
Yeah.
But
And I'm somehow implicated in this as well, because I'm the one that put the money in your meter.
Yes, which I can neither, again, confirm or deny.
Right,
so
yeah.
Did you set me up for failure, Adam? Because the math just doesn't check out.
Right. So tonight's life segment, all-inclusive, really. I mean, we were able to weave yarns together to form this tapestry of events that unfolded today.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Although I saw neither of you at the 6 a.m. run this morning. So
6 a.m., that's way too early.
Yeah.
Wait, were you running this morning?
I did run this morning.
Really?
And I almost died. So that was cool.
Nice.
So the coffee shop has a workout class.
Yes.
That meets at 6 in the morning to work out.
Well, technically, okay, so here's what usually happens.
Okay.
Typically on Mondays, we have a run at 4 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
That, believe it or not, very few people go to. Oh, right. Yeah. But they moved their run this week to, technically it was 6:30, uh-huh. but we all met up like closer to 6. And I didn't work until later on in the morning. And usually I go in earlier. So really it all lined up just right. about perfect. Yeah. And I thought, well, I'll try it.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. Okay. It was so bad. But to be fair, I kind of brought all of the pain and torment on myself because I was woefully unprepared.
Okay.
I didn't eat anything. And so I had like no sustenance to right. maintain my physical abilities.
Right.
And so I was feeling that pretty quick.
I would imagine yep. so. You have very little reserve to pull from.
Yes. Yeah. I'm rather thin.
Right.
Thin in the gills. And secondly, so I got my sweet workout gear on.
Nice.
Which is just like...
Your Daredevil outfit, right?
No, I wish. Yeah. I should have used that. Right. No. I had just classic shorts and like an athletic tee.
Yeah.
Thinking, dude, we're running, right? And it's been 100 degrees out here in Montana lately. And just this morning when I was running, it was randomly like 50 degrees.
Okay.
Oddly cold.
Wow.
And so then my core temperature was just skyrocketing as I just burned up. And then my outside was actually really cold.
Oh,
so
man.
Then my body just had no idea what to do with that.
Right.
Beyond comprehension, really. And then the real kicker was we were doing a jog. But then every few blocks, we would do a sprint
okay.
down the block because why not, right?
Yes.
And the very first sprint, I gave it everything I had and I randomly treated it like some sort of strange race.
Okay.
So I just like burst down the block and used everything I had in the tank just immediately. And nice. Then, yeah,
yeah,
pretty soon, like the second half or so, I was doing a lot of walking, a lot of cool down, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
As I slowly felt nausea and everything else.
Right.
Just kind of...
Wow.
I was decomposing.
So are you going to do it again next week?
Probably not. I think they move it to earlier next week. So
oh, okay.
If that's the case, I'm definitely not doing it. But yeah, it was... I'm kind of exaggerating. It really wasn't that bad. I feel like... It's definitely a thing that if you do it more often, it would be kind of fun. But this is the first time I've really jogged like that in, oh, I don't know, like 3 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was kind of rough.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And I think we all decided, too, that we all prefer nighttime running.
Yes.
That's when, if we're going to go for a jog, that's when we do it.
Yeah.
For
and
sure.
Funnily enough, I actually did go for a nighttime jog last night. And I also threw up.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit.
I was able to hold mine down, but I felt it was pretty close for a minute because not long after the run, I got in my car to drive home.
Right.
And when I was just sitting still after moving so much,
uh-huh.
and then like the motion of the car and stuff, I randomly was just really
right.
like, am I dying? What is happening right now? But, and then the asthma didn't help either. This will just keep going though, so... The moral of the story is,
right.
if you're going to work out,
yeah.
don't be a Steven and prepare beforehand.
Well, let's dive into the games we have to talk about. We've got three very cool games tonight.
Like two and a half.
Don't talk about Apotheca like that. What?
No, we are going to start with Apotheca. This was a Kickstarter that Seth and I actually got to play last year at Origins
mm-hmm.
when it was being play tested. And after we got done playing, we were like, this is great. We definitely need to get our hands on this one. So the Kickstarter happened about a month later, and it arrived a few months ago. But we just haven't been able to get it to the table until recently. It plays 2 to 4 players. It is a semi-abstract game.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
I can agree with that.
Right. Seth and I had some discourse over the fact that I feel like it's pretty much an abstract game. And he said, no, there's totally, this is rich in theme. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So if this is an abstract game, then
right.
so many other games are also abstract.
Right. And I'm like, where do you draw the line?
Really? No, that's what I was like. I was like, where do you draw the line? You just threw it out there. But we both agreed to not really talk about it
that's
anymore.
That's right.
Thank God. We played this game. We've played it numerous times.
We have.
The entire first session.
Right.
For about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
You guys were going back and forth about right. the abstract thing.
There was a little bit of salt. Not going to lie. Yeah.
It got salt. Like, at first, it was just, oh, we have these two like different right. opinions. And then pretty soon.
That's right.
It was a heated debate.
Right.
And then I was just there.
Right.
Didn't really have any stake in the matter.
Right, but we had snacks, so you were good.
I was good. I was just sitting there snacking and then occasionally trolling both of you.
You definitely were.
Yep, you definitely were. This card is so abstract, but...
But anyway, about Apotheca, you are playing various apothecaries trying to complete orders. The board is just a 4x4 grid. And what you play with are three different colors of potions, and these are large tiles with various colored potions on them. And there are probably, I don't know, 50 different tiles. And I'm just going to stop there for a minute and comment on the artwork. Each potion bottle has a different thing floating inside of it.
Yeah, it's extremely subtle, really.
Yeah.
When you're playing the game, you don't pay attention to it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start looking around, there's some pretty crazy stuff
right?
in these potions. Some really disgusting stuff.
Right.
Some just hauntingly beautiful items mixed
right.
in there.
Well,
yeah.
Yep.
It blew my mind.
It's crazy.
It made me laugh. It made me cry.
Right. So the objective of the game is to complete orders, and you do that by getting three of the same color potion in a row, orthogonally. You can move these potions around the board with your various apothecaries, and these are very...
abstract characters.
I was going to say, let's just dive into the theme.
Oh, yeah.
So you move these potions around with your different apothecaries, and based on who they are and the experiences they've had in their lives, they have varying methods of moving the potions to get three in a row. So there are some that can, say, for instance, move a potion in an L shape across the board. There are some that swap a face-down tile with a face-up tile.
Right.
There are some that just move them one space in any direction. There mm-hmm. are some that move every single tile on the board all the way to one side.
Right.
It's every single one is unique, and they're all really cool, different ways of playing. So you're using these apothecaries, as we said, to mix and match and try and get three in a row. And once you get three in a row, you score a point. And it's the first one to three to win.
Right.
But what the kicker is, once you've scored a point, you cover up the apothecary that you were using and you can no longer use that ability.
Right.
So you have to kind of use it wisely, get that point, and then you have to purchase another apothecary using gems that you collect from flipping over tiles over the course of the game. And
right.
so you're getting new powers as the game progresses. And you can also get maybe two apothecaries, even three at the same time, and combine their powers on your turn to pull off some cool combos and get threes in a row.
Right. And like Seth said, some of these are going to be face down. So there will be a handful of face-up potions, and there will be some that are face down. And part of the other actions you can take is flipping these potions over, and as you do so, you will then acquire gems. And once there are no longer any face down potions, or there are fewer than three, you can replenish the stock, as it were, and draw new tiles off of the draw stack, look at them, so you're the only one who knows what these are, and place them face down. It's a fun, pretty simple concept, and there's a lot of depth and strategy to this game based on the various apothecaries you have.
Yes, I think you made this comparison already when we were playing, but in a strange way, it almost reminds me of a chess type of game, or checkers, or any of those like classic, just pretty simple strategy games. But it's all about planning several moves ahead for you and what your opponent's going to do.
Right.
And just trying to like move all the pieces around in your own mind, in the mind's eye.
Right.
Before you do it in person on the physical board.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say that this game is one that when it was described to me,
yeah,
I'll just be real here.
Because you didn't get to play test.
No, I was absent during the playtesting at Origins, and I heard you guys just going on about Apotheca for months. And you guys are pretty credible sources, so I thought this game has to be good.
Right.
And yet every time you would describe it to me and mention we could play Apotheca,
I don't know why, I had
zero interest. The idea of moving potions around and being this random apothecary guy, it just didn't speak to me whatsoever. But now that I have played it, I really, really enjoy this game.
Yeah.
It is, it's not at all what I was expecting when you hear, oh, you get to flip potions over. The general feel and look of the game and just like, how the rounds progress and the interaction with the other players and everything else is just really, really cool. Something that I haven't really had in a game in a while. And I also really enjoy, you know, me, Mr. Co-op.
Right.
I really enjoy that there is a co-op variant of this game.
Right.
Because if you play with four players, you have two teams of two.
Yeah.
And then as a collective unit, you're trying to get 3 points between you. And you can use your respective apothecaries to, like, then combo your powers.
Right.
And that's crazy, though, because there's no table talk allowed.
Right.
So then you're, like, predicting your own moves several steps ahead.
Right.
The opponent's moves, and you have to try to figure out what your teammate's going to do.
Yeah.
So you can try to help him or her. And it just gets crazy.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have played this two-player, three-player, and four. Do you guys have a preference as to which number played best?
2 and 3 player were both very similar, honestly.
Yeah.
2 player is kind of fun because you have a little bit more control over the board. So I guess I would say that either 2 player or 4 player are the better options.
Yeah.
Although our three player game was definitely solid.
Yeah.
It was still a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I really had a lot of fun playing the 4 player game.
Mm-hmm.
Having the table banter be kind of 2 versus 2 and rooting for your teammate and tearing down the other team on occasion.
At least when we play. I mean, some people may be super civil, but where's the fun in that if you're just super nice to everyone?
No, and it was really intense too because you have to worry about extra people who you have to deny them actions, and now you have a team that can combo actions.
Right.
So there's so many more variables that you have to worry about. And then you also have to try and worry about setting things up for your teammate and then trying to read what they're setting up for you. And it was intense, but it was awesome.
It kind of boggles the mind every now and then. And I will say that from, you know, the earlier games, the 2 and the 3 player games, I got accustomed to trying to predict your guys' movements. But honestly, the thing that threw me for a loop is that when we played 4 player, we had Tara sit in.
Yeah.
And I kept, this could sound terrible, but I don't mean it this way. I kept forgetting she was there, as in, like, I kept being so focused on, like, Seth's ability or some other action that I'm like, man, if I can counter that. And then his teammate would just do something I didn't see at all. And I'm like, gosh, dang it, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and it gets to the point where you're, like, afraid to flip over a tile because it could be the color that the other team will need.
Right.
And that one action of you flipping it over will allow them to make a match on their turns.
Right.
And so it's very...
Right, and then you've got the accountability of your partner.
Yeah.
Like, this is not just about me anymore.
That's right.
I need to win this for my partner and not mess it up for them. Yeah, I think it elevated the stress level and the fun level, which maybe they go hand in hand. I don't know.
Yeah, for a generally quick, not stressful game.
Right.
Yeah, tensions were high.
Who knew a 4x4 grid with colored potions would be so much fun?
Yeah.
And I think we have to mention the demon horses.
Oh, yeah. I was going to make a comment about that earlier. Yeah.
Yeah,
all of these characters that we mentioned that have all these backstories, which are all in the rule book.
That's right.
Every card, every character card actually has a little like paragraph describing...
Right, like because it's super thematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at all abstract. No.
Well, and maybe a little bit.
And almost every one of these characters, apparently if you live in this universe, it's just an inevitability that you will have a run-in with a demon horse that
or multiple
demon horses, yes, that'll just jack up your world.
That's right.
But you never see the demon horse.
No.
You just hear about it.
It's in the background.
Right.
Which we decided are probably the driving factor for us trying to make these potions.
Right.
And it's, the subtitle is The Secret Potion Society. So
yeah.
Have the demon horses outlawed potions? Is that what's happening?
They're
right
like
now?
The just intense rulers of this yeah. world, these oppressive rulers that exactly. no one really knows about.
And so we're swapping pots on the DL.
Precisely. But it would almost be cool, actually, if they have expansions to this game
yeah. mm-hmm.
that potentially add demon horses right. and see if they really see if they expand on that and that topic at all, because right, yeah. they really, it's heavy, like almost every character has some reference to
right.
and then a demon horse
right.
it's just
it could almost be where the expansion adds apothecaries that are meant to disrupt other players, so like maybe forcing them to like discard gems or choose a new apothecary or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of this interfering force. I don't know. It could,
that could
be crazy.
Be cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, just as a final note for me, when we were discussing favorite characters, I'll just say Solace.
Yeah.
The Owl. Totes the best. Like, in my opinion, from artwork.
Yeah.
I like the name. The ability is really nice.
Yeah.
It's just, I saw that card and I went, okay, that yeah. one is cool. Right.
I yeah. feel like Seth's going to disagree a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to touch on that
yeah.
because Solace was a character, the only one we never used their ability.
Right.
And in our first few games, we didn't even have that card out to
right.
use at all. But then we're like, this card is amazing. This ability, this artwork, this is all cool.
Right.
And then we still haven't used it.
We played this game half a dozen times already.
Yeah.
Haven't used
it. I did get the card even.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the situation, it was in the four-player game, and there's so many tiles everywhere and so many people doing abilities, I never had an opportunity to actually
right.
use the ability.
Right.
I feel like in a two-player game,
mm-hmm.
that ability could be super handy. But in this one, there were so many moving parts.
Right.
I never felt comfortable, because it's where you can move two separate tiles,
right.
one space in various...
In any direction. Well,
yeah,
direction.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so, whereas most characters, they can move one tile
right.
a variety of different ways, but it's one. You can actually move two different tiles,
yeah.
both like closer to each other, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And that just seems really, really nice
yeah.
in a certain situation. But then with this one, in that game we were playing, I went, okay, that's just,
right.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm not confident right now in my abilities.
I've forgotten that Tara's here.
Yeah.
I don't know what's
yeah.
going on.
Right. Exactly.
Right. I wonder if they're going to do an expansion for this, because Andrew Fenerspiel, he's got the word spiel in his name. I mean, this is
destiny,
right? He actually demoed the game for us.
Mm-hmm.
He's already working on his next game, so
oh,
I don't
wow.
know. He might have more
we'll have
apothecaries.
To, we'll have to call him up. Yeah,
yeah.
We're calling you out,
right? Yeah.
Hey, so demon horses.
Right.
Then we just hear blood curdling screams,
and then hang up the phone.
Right.
Little did we know that this was based on real life.
Right.
Just his apartment or wherever he lives. It's just like he's just plagued by demon horses.
So yeah, I give this game two thumbs up for sure.
Yeah.
And I think if you're looking for a game for couples, since I think we all agreed the four-player variant, 2-on-2, was
mm-hmm.
really awesome, this is a perfect game. Because it's light enough that anybody
yeah.
is going to be able to understand
yeah.
it. You can only do about three things on your turn, so it's...
It is great. I would say not only like you're kind of coming from like a double date almost perspective,
yeah.
like two couples, but even just the 1v1,
yeah.
just having the two of you play
yeah,
it is
right.
also a great option.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And it's only as serious as you make it. So you can
right.
just play to have fun, or you can play to be super strategic and no holds barred. But either way, it's going to be a great game.
I mean, yeah. all of us, we were just sweating bullets.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Freaking out. But that's just, that's, you know, that's how we roll.
That's
so.
How we play games.
Yeah. Right.
Except for, you know, every other game. But, no, yeah, this is actually probably in my top five games. It's so quick, so easy.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also has such depth that anytime this is brought out, I will join that table.
Yeah. If you are looking for something maybe a little bit more complex, but very similar, Vladishvatl's Tash Kalar is very similar. It's a
mm-hmm.
battle-style arena game that uses a lot of the same mechanics, but is a little bit more complex. But speaking of sweating bullets, we played another game that had us sweating quite a bit. We played Forbidden Desert.
Why were we? Oh, because it's a desert.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
where do bullets come from?
I was like, where does. Wait, what?
Now
I get it.
Is he talking about Mermaid Island?
Spoiler.
Whoa. Foreshadowing.
No, Forbidden Desert is another really good cooperative game from Matt Leacock, who brought us Pandemic and Pandemic Legacy.
Dude, the number one game on BoardGameGeek.
Exactly.
Have we said that?
I don't know if we said that before, but...
I think that's been mentioned. Yeah. Not only here, but elsewhere.
Dude, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you know where Forbidden Desert is on that list?
I don't know. Let's take a guess.
I'm going to say 189.
Okay.
I was going to say 307.
I'm going to say 56. All right, let's look it up.
I was going to say, we have to confirm it.
We're all three going to look it up.
Just look it up first. All will have different answers.
Yeah. Right.
184.
Ooh,
I was five off.
Whoa!
That's pretty good.
Nice. Well done.
So why don't you tell us about the game, Steve?
I didn't actually play the game.
No, we did play this just the other night. Like his other cooperative games. Each decision is pretty crucial in this. You're playing a team of explorers who is looking for artifacts in the desert. Your helicopter has crashed, and you are now stranded in the desert in this ancient city. However, you've heard there is an ancient flying machine somewhere in this ancient city, so you are looking for pieces to put this thing back together and finding clues that lead you to these pieces. However, there is a sandstorm that is just ever-growing nearby.
The mother of all sandstorms.
And it's just covering up more and more of the city as you're trying to explore. Like any good game, you've got characters. And each of them has a special ability. Do you guys remember your characters?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Typically in games, the red color is actually like my least favorite. Or close to the bottom.
Right, and that's Seth's favorite color.
I know,
to play.
Yeah. We're very different.
Yeah.
And so I got to the table the other night, and I sat down, and I had the red card and little character token in front of me, and I went, Adam, what is this?
Yeah.
And you said, I just dealt them out randomly, and I was there being all salty, like, why am I playing as red? I was being real childish. Yeah. But it is the archaeologist.
Yeah.
And it turns out the ability is actually super nice. So,
I mean,
who knew? But... to remove sand in this game from this crazy sandstorm that really just kicks you in the pants.
It really
does. It's it's crazy. That's for later.
Right.
Well, to remove sand, you can dig up sand with your handy dandy little shovels, but the average character can only remove one tile of sand per action, per like dig action.
Right.
Well, the archaeologist can actually remove two per dig action, which is it's simple. But there are some times when that comes in handy, for sure.
It definitely does. There are tiles that are face down that you have to uncover one by one to dig up parts of this city. However, the tiles are set up in a grid, and this sandstorm is moving around the grid, and each time it moves across a tile, it basically drops more sand on that tile and buries the city even further. So that is how you discover the city. You can move around this grid one space at a time, orthogonally, and I was the explorer, so I got to dig and explore diagonally as well, so that was my special ability, which also came in very handy. And Seth was?
I was the meteorologist, which the abilities are just a little more removed from moving around on the game and digging sand and all that, but he's got some pretty cool stuff. You can kind of... you get a forecast of what the storm's going to be like, and you can choose to put one of those cards at the bottom of the pile. So you can, there's a little bit of strategy in maybe saving the cards that are going to increase the storm or saving the cards that are going to make you thirsty, putting those at the bottom so you can get prepared.
Right.
In addition, he also has an ability that just lets him draw fewer cards when it's the end of his turn, because at the end of all of our turns, we're actually drawing these storm cards to move it around and increase its potency.
Right.
And so it's kind of, once you end your turn, you're like ready to move on, but then you still have to move the storm and it gets pretty crazy. But the meteorologist at least can draw one less card and kind of push that back a little bit.
Right, which totally makes sense for a meteorologist.
It does.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I suppose is that all of these characters have a different amount of water they can carry in their canteen. And
that's basically your life point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just health.
Yeah. Right.
And, right?
Right. So we had a little larger canteen than you did.
Mm-hmm. Although that really didn't end up coming into play very much, I have to say.
No, I don't.
Every time the sun beat down, I just happened to be in a tunnel, it seemed like. And so I was just fine.
Yeah. But, And there's this deck of cards, which Seth referred to, that you draw from at the end of each of your turns. And in this deck will be the direction the storm is moving and how many spaces it will be moving. There are the sun beats down cards in this deck. And when that happens, you each have to drink a little bit more of your life, a little bit more from your canteen. And then there are cards called the storm picks up. And this increases the amount of cards you have to draw at the end of each of your turns.
And that's the one that just really sucks.
It really did. Yeah. It really did. I don't know. We didn't really give that one much thought.
No.
And it just kept slowly creeping. We didn't really even notice, much like you would, I think, in a real sandstorm.
You said, like, wow, there's still sand blowing. Woo.
Yeah.
But
it just slowly ramps up until suddenly we're drawing 6 cards every turn.
Right.
And not just like every time all of us go. No, yeah, at the end of each individual turn, each of us draws 6 cards. Right.
That's eventually what did us in.
Yep.
We'll talk about that in a
second. But as you uncover these tiles, you will discover different things within the city. We discovered things like dune blasters, which would allow us to remove more sand from a tile than normal. We found jet packs, and we found pteroscopes, which would let us look under the sand. And probably the most useful thing was a solar shield, which would shield us from those pesky the sun beats down cards.
Yeah. And those are nice because every other character that shares a tile with you is also protected, and instead of, you know, most of these are just one-offs, the shield actually lasts a full rotation of turns.
Right.
So, you know, at the end of the game when you're drawing, like, 6 cards at the end of every turn, this actually can last for, like, a full 12 cards at least.
Right,
yeah.
And so that's pretty nice.
It is. But you do need to go your separate ways on occasion because there are a lot of tiles that you have to look through to find the clues to these different pieces to build this flying craft.
Does the flying craft have a name, by the way?
The Legendary Flying Machine is...
Okay.
...is what it's called.
That, it needs some work, right. But just on the side of the ship, right. That's carved into it.
I think we should call it the Lady Leacock.
What?
All right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it.
So. For some reason, I was thinking the Swoonie.
Also very good.
Thank you.
A.K.A.
The Lady Leacock. Or you could put the Lil Swoonie.
See, it used to be called the Lady Leacock, and then we commandeer it and just cross that out.
Right.
You know, crudely.
Like very crude, like red paint.
But what's cool is that the ship is actually a thing in the box. And the pieces that you put on the ship are actually little pieces that you find and assemble. So technically, we could get the Sharpie out and write our own name on the ship if we wanted to. But this is a level of detail they didn't have to include. It's just something fun.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did that.
The components of the ship, namely the engine, it's
real metal.
It's actual, like, it has some heft to it. I was surprised. I thought, oh, these are just little plastic pieces.
Yeah.
No.
That is a real working scaled down engine right there.
Yeah.
It is functional, yes.
Yes. If we were proportional to that engine, it's the exact same weight as an engine block.
Right.
Yeah. It's so, true. Yep.
Yeah.
In the world of a meeple,
yep. Right.
This is
some serious business right there. I will say I have played this a number of times with Tara, and we have always won.
Well,
the three of us played this, and, you know, we were close.
I mean, yeah. We were within a turn.
We were. But we were definitely overcome by the sandstorm.
Yep.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say, so if you usually play it two players then.
Yes.
Okay. So I wonder, of course you have, in a three-player game, you have more people searching and obviously working towards the end goal.
Right.
However, that means you have that much more cards being drawn to increase the storm. So I wonder if that's what did us in. Because at the end there, that storm was just going mad.
It was. And I wonder if it's just that between the two of you, you can synergize a little faster than you can with Maybe. More people. Because this does play up to five. And I haven't played the five-player version of this. It does sound fun, though.
Yeah. People say it's best with four people.
Okay.
But, so we played it pretty close to that.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Three is close to
three
four.
Three is close.
Yeah.
I mean, how much different can it really be at that point? I have played Forbidden Island with four people. And it was a 50-50 split on winning and losing.
Okay.
I think.
He can't remember.
I can't quite remember. But I'm pretty sure it was 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This game, I gotta say, being buried alive by sand.
Right.
Yeah. No.
It may only be little tiles on a board, but there's something about it when you think about what's happening to your little character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's...
No, there's some urgency in this game, for sure. Like I said at the beginning, each decision you make is critical.
It is.
Because even the little mistakes you make will compound. And at the end, I think that's probably why we lost. We made maybe a few decisions.
We had a bad run of luck right at the end,
though. We did. We definitely did.
That storm. But those storm cards. Just
no,
really?
No.
Yeah. But that's how the desert works.
Exactly.
No mercy. No forgiveness.
Unforgiving.
It's true.
Yeah. I know. I've lived in the desert.
Yeah.
For many years.
I did.
Yeah.
Everything there will kill you.
Yes.
No joke.
I actually lived in the desert, too.
Exactly. Steven almost died in the desert.
I did. I had a run-in with...
the cartel.
Yeah, we'll say that.
It's actually a field of cacti.
The cacti cartel.
Yeah, am I right? Exactly. They both start with a C. The cartel sounds cooler, so let's just go with that.
Yeah.
But, yes, cacti. Watch out for it.
Right?
There's no cacti in this game, which would have been useful because we could have cut it open and drank from it, as I've seen on TV.
Good luck with that.
I did enjoy it more with three players, even though we lost. So I would agree that more players in this game equals more fun. This one also appeared on Tabletop, if you want to see this played.
One last thing.
Yeah.
I mentioned Forbidden Island.
Yes.
Which was the precursor to this game,
yes,
if I remember correctly. And it's got a very similar style, although there are a few differences I like more about Forbidden Desert, and I think the general consensus is that Forbidden Desert was an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it's worth it to check out Forbidden Island because it's got different mechanics where the islands will actually sink. And so in Forbidden Desert, it's just being piled up on sand, so it's...
There is a juxtaposition there between the two. One is sinking and one is kind of growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even though theoretically you can remove all the sand from a tile, even if it's mounting up really high, in Forbidden Island, once that sinks, it's gone forever. And so there's kind of a different kind of urgency going on.
Right.
And so I think both are fun experiences. And, you know, so play both of them and decide which one you like, but I think I want to stick with Forbidden Desert myself.
Yeah. So Matt Leacock makes some fantastic cooperative games, probably the master of the cooperative game. He also made a game based on the Thunderbirds IP that is receiving an expansion this year.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of it and heard that it plays a lot like Pandemic in many ways, though the theme does not appeal to me as much. Because I'm not familiar with the Thunderbirds. It's not something I got into.
See, I immediately thought Thundercats.
Oh no, this is
but
something.
No.
This is like
this so is, I don't know what
this is like a
are.
Marionette
oh,
cartoon
what?
For children.
That's
in the '70s.
Disturbing.
It might be.
I'm just afraid of marionettes.
Okay.
Well,
what is a marionette?
He's afraid of what he does not know.
Right. What is a marionette?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Nice.
Are you though?
He's going to the phone.
Yeah. I don't. I don't think you are. We just hear him scream in like right. 45 seconds.
And what is that?
I knew it.
I knew I should be afraid of it.
Speaking of children.
I had something to say about Matt Leacock.
Okay.
He throws mad shade. That tweet that he replied to us.
Yeah.
He said, maybe you'll eventually be worth something.
I know.
Like,
he said, right. Yeah, he said, maybe you'll be worth something in 1,000 years or whatever. And it was funny because it was like, it was a joke because we're buried in a desert. So it's like, if we're discovered. Yeah. And yet.
Also, I couldn't help but feel that. It was just a dagger in my heart.
Yeah. When I first opened the tweet.
Yeah.
I was a little hurt.
Yeah.
But then I thought, I don't know if he means it that way. But it was pretty, it was shady.
See, I read a lot into it.
Yeah.
And put two maybes. So, I think we're good.
We see you, Matt.
Right? We'll tweet this episode at Rob.io.
Right. It's not like they're BFFs or anything designing the number one game in the universe together.
Mm-hmm.
No.
They're right.
That's just the cover
right.
up.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Intense rivalry there.
It's one of those things where they're like brothers, right? So there's just a little bit of resentment building up.
It's going to be like a Cain and Abel situation.
Whoa. Yes, exactly.
No, we love them both. I mean, we...
Yeah. But you know who else responded to us? Peaceable Kingdom.
That's right.
Yep.
They certainly did. Because we have been playing a lot of their games recently. You know, you never think... I'm going to sit down and play a kid's game and enjoy playing this game. You know, you can only play so much Candyland, which, in my opinion, not even a game. Because really. Are you playing it or is it playing you? It's definitely playing you.
Much like Latin Leacock.
Much like Leacock.
He's playing all of us.
Much like life, really. You know?
It is
like,
true.
Is this eternal struggle something that we have sovereignty over? Or are we just going through the motions, you know?
We're talking about a kid's game.
By the way,
it's getting really deep.
It is getting super deep.
Really deep because we're under the ocean. Because,
what?
Oh, wait,
what?
But we're on an island.
Yeah. Yeah.
The box clearly shows mermaids swimming around.
You know, that's the one thing I don't understand about this game.
Yeah, now that I think about
it. I know.
Because I was going to say...
Dude, it's a very abstract game.
I was going to say, they're underwater, but there is an island.
There is, but
there are swimming.
Yeah.
There's a fish right above that castle.
You know?
On an island. Oh my gosh.
It's very SpongeBob-esque, I think, is what's happening.
It is. There. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I have to say, real quick, by the way, Adam, that I can take a hint... that I kept bringing up that we need to play more serious, intense, hardcore games.
Yeah.
And naturally, your response was, let's work through the library of Peaceable Kingdom. So, you know, I'll just keep my comments to myself and just enjoy the ride, I suppose. And then...
No, but they do make... they do make good games, though. Peaceable Kingdom, they make only cooperative games for kids, very young children. And... we played Engineering Ants recently, and we played Mermaid Island the other night, kind of to wrap up a very intense session.
We needed some water.
We
were being trapped in that desert.
We did. So we dove into Mermaid.
It was salt water.
Great.
So refreshing.
So there are three mermaids trying to make it to Mermaid Island on this track. And you spin a dial, and it's going to let you move one or two spaces. However, there is a sea witch who also has a space on the dial. What? Gentlemen?
You're sea just, witch?
The sea witch. Is there an issue? What's happening here?
No, nothing.
Do you have a problem with the sea witch?
I can't keep this game seriously.
Okay.
I can't take this whole thing seriously because we have something like Apotheca, which is so great. And then just ironically, you made the game of the podcast, Mermaid Island, and you just describing this game like so intensely right now. And I'm just thinking about, I'm picturing the board in my mind.
Right, yeah.
And this is Sea Witch.
Yeah.
And like...
super
how
intense.
Easy this game is.
No, this lady, this witch is coming after you.
It was only easy because we are board game veterans.
Right.
Lots of tabletop under our belts.
And they're three different colors. So there's a red one, a green one, and a blue mermaid. However, on your turn, you can move any one of the three of them, which really, I think, is the mechanic in this game that makes it sing.
Yeah. Although, if you were a kid,
right,
and you had your mermaid, someone else tried to move it.
See, that's the thing, though. That's what I love about it is,
sharing.
Let's share the mermaid. Yes. Right, yeah, exactly. Peaceable.
There you go.
Kingdom. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I love about it?
What's that?
It starts fights.
I don't think you're playing it right.
Well,
you know what I love about it? Not a single character in this game is a man.
No, I 100% agree that the all-female cast is totally fitting. Okay. So
yeah, but it's like, sure, it would be nice for my gender to be represented in this game.
Right.
But if you're going to put a merman in there just for the sake of having a man,
yeah,
it's not worth it.
Right. We should probably stop talking about Mermaid Island, maybe.
Well, have we even covered all of it yet?
That's pretty much it. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Dude, the build up to Game of the Podcast, right? You have three mermaids and a sea witch. Right. You spin a dial, you move any of the mermaids down this track, and you can use little slides, which are shortcuts.
Oh, wait, we forgot about the magic wands.
We did forget about
the magic. So you can spend a magic wand to move the sea witch back.
That's right.
That's right. Very tactical.
Right.
Because if you move the sea witch back onto your mermaid, you're done. You go back to the beginning.
You do.
You do. Which
is really far away.
Yep.
So
doesn't really impact you at all. But
in summation, if you're looking for a game to play with your children that is not Candyland or Chutes and Ladders, Mermaid Island, highly recommend.
It is true.
Yep.
For all of my not so subtle trash talking, as far as kids' games go, this one was pretty good.
Yeah.
For sure.
So if there's one thing you're going to take away from this podcast, it's Mermaid Island. Buy it. Do not hesitate.
I think you can get this at Target.
Okay.
Engineering Ants was a Target exclusive.
Dude, Target is really expanding their board game inventory,
by the way. They definitely are. And I think that should be the last thing we talk about tonight, is there are a lot of shops and stores stepping up their board game
game.
Ayo!
Nice. And
I think Target is doing a really nice job. Even the one we have here in our little town of Billings. Really putting forth a nice effort. So I was walking through the game section and I took inventory of what they're selling these days. So they've got Catan and Pandemic and King of Tokyo. But they've also got things like Betrayal and House on the Hill. They have the new expansion for Machi Koro. They've got Evolution. They have One Night Ultimate Werewolf. They have another kids game that I actually wanted to play, but they only had a German version of it.
What?
Called The Magical Labyrinth. Oh my gosh. I wanted to play this game, but now they have it here.
What is The Magical Labyrinth in German?
So, how do you... What title?
Is it in German?
I have no idea.
Okay.
All credibility lost.
Right. Yeah, right.
Das Magic Labyrinth.
Labyrinth is the exact same.
That's okay. What it says here.
All right.
There we go. Alternate names.
I love it. That's amazing.
Yeah. So Target also has a large adult game section. These are the a little more edgy versions of a lot of games. So they've got an adult version of Codenames, Apples to Apples, Telestrations. They also have another game called Scrawl, which is basically the adult version of Telestration. So I'm not exactly sure how they're getting away with this, because I don't think they're made by the same company.
Scrawl. Yeah. I mean, that's an alright name. Is that the best they could come up with? Scrawl.
I like it myself.
I like it.
I really like it. No. But I do just think of like a large orc. When I hear it,
Scrawl.
Yeah.
Scrawl.
Exactly.
Nice, nice.
Just like with a little tiny pencil drawing a picture. But
we're going to play these.
Every single one of them.
We're going to have a special podcast dedicated just to you 18 and ups.
Yep. Just littered with profanity nonstop.
Will we finally play Cards Against Humanity?
No. Probably not.
No, we will not. No. No. However, the game I am kind of excited to play, the Oregon Trail card game. This might just be an awful game, but I really want to play it because I loved the Oregon Trail.
As long as there's still dysentery.
Oh, there definitely is. I'm pretty sure that's the card that's like on the cover.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Did you play Oregon Trail, Steven?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I didn't play it a ton.
Yeah.
But I played it as much as humanly possible when I was in school.
Yeah.
And had access to it, right?
Right. Yeah, I remember in computer lab,
yep,
back in middle school, just playing Oregon Trail rather than doing my typing.
Mm-hmm.
Still got my typing done. Don't get me wrong.
I didn't.
Okay.
That explains so much.
Hey, I got like 80 words per minute going.
Wow.
Anyways.
That's...
We'll race later.
So yeah, it's fun to see kind of these even mass market stores selling these designer board games, which means the golden age of board games is still happening and will probably continue to grow. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah. We should say, support your local game store.
Definitely.
So, even though you can buy these games at Hastings or Target, definitely you should make your stop at your local game store first. But the accessibility to people who aren't gamers is just, it's awesome. It's a great byproduct, yeah. I think.
Side note, Hastings just went bankrupt.
You across will, the globe?
Yes.
Yes, actually.
You will not be able to buy your games
at Hastings.
We were
just talking about stores that go bankrupt, and apparently they just keep coming back.
Yeah.
So.
But Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, you can get games there, too. Yep. But yeah, we've got a few local game shops that we like to support here as well. So search them out. They will have the largest inventory of games, certainly. I have a question for you as we wrap up, gentlemen.
For me.
For us. For both of you.
Yeah. Me specifically.
So me.
Yeah, so just me then.
All right.
The new Star Trek film and Suicide Squad. Have you guys seen these films as of yet?
I have seen Star Trek.
Yes.
And I'm going to see Suicide Squad tomorrow night.
That's exciting right there.
Really?
I mean, I might have gone to see Suicide Squad if somebody would have invited me to tomorrow night.
Ooh!
That's the first I've heard.
You know,
so.
Things have come up.
Okay.
The winds have changed.
If this was my house, I'd be throwing chairs right now. Gotta be respectful.
Yeah.
I'm gonna repeatedly punch myself in the face.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right. I think to end this podcast, I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit.
Because right.
I like to do that on occasion.
Right.
And I just need to reiterate that a large part of why we started Board Game Point of View was to build relationships. So we have been talking about a lot of family games, a lot of games you can play with your significant other or another couple. And I will continue to encourage you to do that because we spend so much time in front of television screens and in front of our phones. It's just nice to get out from behind a screen and have some eye contact and some conversation with real people. It's just nice.
But speaking of relationships,
yeah,
and reaching out and contacting,
right?
I wonder what this is building up to.
We have social media that we have recently begun to frequent. So,
right.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes. Leave us a review. Send us a message. Tell us what you like, what you don't like.
Right.
And we will respond as fast as humanly possible.
Right.
Yes.
And if you leave us a review, and we eventually get enough reviews to where we can see them
on iTunes,
we will have a drawing, and your review might just be read by the one and only Alex Eating.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
We still haven't actually asked him to do this.
It's going
to
happen. Alex, I'm looking at you,
right,
man.
The third podcast in a row. He's going
to
do it.
You know what we need to do? We need to ask him on the podcast.
Yeah, like,
and
Alex,
he can leave his response on iTunes when he gives us 5 stars.
Gosh.
That is amazing.
And then, and then the odds are we're going to draw that one out of the hat.
Right.
And he'll read his own review.
It'll be awesome.
So if you want to stop that from happening, which some reviews.
But for reals though, if you're going to follow a social media, all of them would be great, but Twitter is probably the one to go with.
Twitter just—it's on fire right now.
It's just, I mean, crazy.
Matt Leacock is throwing the shade.
Yeah, that's the real reason you want to get on Twitter, to see that.
Right. No, to throw shade at Matt Leacock. That's what
you don't want to start. That he will destroy you. He will bury you under a mountain of sand.
He definitely will.
Oh man.
Good night, everybody.
Our only sponsor is our fans and their love. We do this for you.
We do indeed.
And the sweet, sweet paycheck.
You're getting paid to do this?
You didn't know about
that? I've been writing him checks out of your book.
What? For almost 2 years now, I go to the bank and they send the check back and they say, this check is invalid. And I go, okay. And then I just drive away. And then I come back the next month. And
it
then
might also be, I have no money.
Well, you know, it could be.
Yeah.
It also could be that he writes these checks in crayon.
Maybe a child has been writing checks.
I use whatever I can find in Adam's house.
And they compare the signatures, and there's nothing alike. I mean,